but I own all the utilities, so it's actually times 10.
Board Games on 95BFM. Our weekly chat with Waitemata local board head Pippa Coombe.
Indeed. However, as alluded to earlier, we are again joined by Tracy Mulholland, the chair of the Faux Local Board, the Inner West Suburbs, that's the electorate that they represent, Kelston, New Windsor, all Avondale, New Lynn, all around that area. We kind of wanted to continue a chat. So last week, if you tuned in, you would have heard the announcement of the Pacific People's Plan in the Faux electorate. It was the first Pacific People's Plan launch ever within a local board within the Auckland Super City kind of general council, the Auckland Council, that is. Since the kind of formation of that council, however, even prior to that, there wasn't really such a thing announced by one local board. And this week again, or last week, they made another announcement about a specific people's plan, and this is for the ethnic people's plan. What that means, you'll soon find out. We kind of asked the question of whether labeling it an ethnic people's plans is potentially problematic, who that includes, and what it means. I will let Tracy Mulholland dive into what it is and what it does mean.
So essentially, when we did some planning, an initiative that we undertook in my term was to look at those opportunities for betterment in terms of our outcome too, which is great neighbourhoods, strong community connections and capacity and voices, you know, similar to what we were just talking about, so giving people the voice. And that outcome that the Faux Local Board has, one of them was, from my perspective, was to share an opportunity with community who hadn't had that voice before. So this is the first Auckland Council, never been done before for a local board. So we have set the bar high in terms of the responsiveness, and we've got some great boards, of course, doing fabulous work, but this is really a very positive approach in terms of that capacity and voice for local communities. So we launched the Pacific People's Plan. All that work had been undertaken and connections made, and that's been a huge success. So we've implemented some actions. And then this week, because they were working in tandem on the projects alongside Māori responsiveness, which that has been in plan for a very long time with council and with communities. So the Ethnic People's Plan was launched last week in New Lynn at Olympic Park, and it was fabulous. It was a wonderful evening of merriment, and when I say merriment, you know, in terms of entertainment, local entertainment, ethnic community participating, ethnic community leading the event. And when we refer to diversity and ethnic communities, what we're referring to is talking with people who identify as ethnic community. So you have in the ethnic community, you may have Malay, Chinese, you may have community who are identify as Indian or other cultures that would be classified as ethnic. So if people say they are ethnic community, of course the team that were working on the implementation of the plan and the feedback allowed those people certainly to have a voice. So you're right in relation to the fact that there's numerous cultures who identify with being ethnic, but dominantly the ethnic clan, you know, the Chinese, Malay, Indian community and other groups of people who identify as ethnic. So quite a large number of people. And again, in terms of the feedback and responsiveness, it was open, but it wasn't a plan that was led for, say, Māori, because Māori have their plan under Te Tiriti o Waitangi and the work that we're doing for Māori response.
So why separate out the kind of Māori responsiveness plans, the Pacific people's plans and the ethnic people's plans from a more generalised Faux people's plan?
One of the things that we have been told by the people and by community, same as the Pacific people's plan, is that they felt that they needed to be heard in the Faux, and we really are responding to the diversity of the Faux, and that has changed a lot. So anyone that's lived in, say, Newland, Blockhouse Bay, Avondale, New Windsor, Green Bay, in this area, you know, specifically there was a, you know, there were just broad plans for the board, so our annual plan. However, we had feedback from community that they would like to have a voice for their people. And that's a great thing because it is included then, it's attached to the whole overarching board plan. So it is still really connected because I'm a great believer we shouldn't be doing anything in terms of segregation, but we need to allow people in a cultural group and a group that identifies in a cultural group to have a voice. So, say for example, in the Pacific Peoples Plan, one of the actions that they may want to undertake in terms of their culture and their identity might be quite different to one of the things that might have been an engagement and a decision for the Ethnic Peoples Plan. So really it's about, you know, I think it's a really good thing. It's about identifying exactly what are the needs for that community and then engaging it right back through into the board plan. And as we know for Te Tiro Waitangi and the work that we do at the local board, so the Whai Local Board, it is critical also because we have to, and we absolutely must, respect the treaty and Te Tiro Waitangi in terms of its place in our community and society. And so that's really critical for Māori community to have their voice and their view. So this was opening up an opportunity for ethnic people to also have their views heard.
Right.
And in saying that, it connects back in with each group. So they all connect in with each other. So the other night there were people of different faiths, denominations, cultures that attended. You know, they interconnect after this. It all is open to people participating and being involved and supporting. So whether it means a program, say, of vegetable gardens, local, you know, community gardens or entertainment, that is still connected in with everyone. But it's some views on how they work together and wanting to feel. One of the outcomes was how community wanted to feel that they were identified and that their culture, you know, you come to live in New Zealand, it's a fabulous country, beautiful place to be, you know, and you identify with your community and your culture. But what I would like to share with our people of the Whai is every opportunity to also be part of their community, their culture, but also be connected in with others. So it was one of the things. People wanted to keep their culture and not lose. It's about being part of their local environment, their neighbourhood, and us supporting groups.
What you're saying almost implies that prior to now, or perhaps just in general, these communities aren't feeling represented within their electorate. Why do you think this is?
My comment is that is not the way that I feel it should be taken. It is in part, some people don't even know about the role of local government. I think that's more of what it is. That as I talk with community and have been during these processes, that, you know, the Whai Local Board door is open. Actually, it's owned by the community, the space. And I always say here, in this office, which I am sitting in at the moment talking with yourself and your listeners, that this is their place, actually. But a lot of community don't know when they come to live here, or they're participating in activity, exactly what is the role of local government. So I don't think it's that they don't feel welcome, because the love is certainly there. Definitely, that, you know, you look at all the wonderful things that happen in our neighbourhoods, you know, the I Love Avondale activities, the community houses that we support, the community facilities and centres. So they're really, really heavily used by many different groups. But I think not everybody knows about local government and the role that we play, and I think that's been the learning, who we are, and our duty is to serve them again, like I talked about last time. So that's been a really neat thing, I think, in terms of, oh, okay, that's what you do. You know, it's not a face in the community, it's a role, it's a duty, it's a service. You know, so we do many, many things at a board level. So the boards now have changed from the old individual councils to the super city now. So we actually have, we're mandated to do more for our community, and that's what we're trying to engage with, is getting people to own that.
Why do you think that local boards have had this low profile? Because it seems to be an issue that multiple local boards are encountering.
My view of that is it is far easier to profile the bigger picture, the bigger Auckland Council, and to profile under one brand. Say, for example, I look at my office, the maps that we get, the things that we're doing, some of them are branded just Auckland Council. And my debate in writing to council staff has been that, where is our Faux Local Board brand? That is our local community, 86,000 people in the area of the Faux. We should be branding the Faux and letting those people know it's not just an Auckland Council thing, that we are their local community. So I think in terms of branding, we should share that with our communities. Yes, the Faux Local Board logo appears, but I said to someone in media at council as well, a logo doesn't tell a story to a person that lives down the road, that works hard for their income, and then they contribute through either their rent or their rates or their family towards activities in the Faux, you know, the old ratepayer theory. This is something I think now with the change to the super city that we have a duty to say to council from a local board perspective, actually, you need to market us as we are the representatives here locally on the ground. Yes, there is a governing body, of which I'll be running for next term. And yes, there is a local community. They are the ones at the local board that are now mandated to make more of those decisions, local decisions. And I think it's getting, so the marketing, that I think it's getting that out. And also I would like to see, and this is my personal view, I would like to see that under legislation that there is a requirement to do for the money that is earned by local board members, that they are actually doing set hours, that they have a number of hours that are set in a month, instead of where the Act outlines, you know, attending the business meeting, that we're actually, when people are paid to represent and be an elected member, be a politician, a local politician, that they are set that they have to work so many hours. It comes as a recommendation, but not it's not mandatory. It is only for certain things. So I think if we have, say, 7 board members in an area or 8 board members in an area or 6, that there's more work undertaken by them and that the brand of each local board is stronger by way of being promoted by council versus, say, for example, if I look at the recent our Auckland magazine. Well, it's landed here in the Faux, and we've got pictures of people, community, we've got advertising on it, and we've got a picture of the mayor. But we really need to be actually telling more of a local story. So, you know, I think those types of things, people look at it and go, oh, that's just the Auckland Council. That's why they don't probably know a lot about boards. And it's coming up only, 9 years now since the inception of the super city.
Right.
Still a lot of good learning to be done.
I think this brings us to a good point. You're talking about perhaps legislating the representation and making sure that the elected representatives actually represent the community. And you brought up the responsibility of local board members to represent and follow their binding to the Treaty of Waitangi or to Te Reti o Waitangi. Do you think that's another thing that perhaps should be brought into legislation within the roles of the local boards?
Our local board, I'm really pleased from my perspective that in terms of my guidance and leadership that I've never had anyone object to work that we've been doing under the treaty and our obligations, and I am mindful of sharing it with people, and I've got to give Auckland Council, the governing body and the staff, a big hands up for the work they're doing. It is amazing, and there is a unit who is supporting this work. So I would say actually that's something we are doing well and getting really a lot better at. So that's fabulous. I was raised in an environment where for my family, you know, family, best friends, Māori, and so, you know, being from the Waikato originally, you know, so there was that strong representation. So, and when I studied Te Tiriti o Waitangi, it was through Manukau City Council. And even though those studies were certainly not advanced studies, but it brought about the awareness. And I think for council, I do congratulate the good work they've been doing, and especially for the board here and our local boards. Actually, I've never had anyone object strongly about our responsibilities. So I think that's a really exciting thing in terms of progressing and in terms of being progressive.
That's not a ladder, that's an upside-down snake. Board games on 95 BFM.